All right, Ruth chapter 2 this evening, please. The book of Ruth, not the gospel of Ruth, the book of Ruth. So used to say in the gospel of Luke, I was thinking about the gospel of Ruth, and I thought that's not it. The book of Ruth, back before 1 and 2 Samuel in the Old Testament, we're in chapter 2 this evening, having looked at chapter 1 last week, and we will briefly comment on that as we go into Ruth chapter 2. I'm going to read tonight just the first three verses as we begin. Ruth chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. And the Bible says, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer this evening. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity again to gather this evening together, Father, to worship you, to have our communion service, to sing praises, to give, Father, to pray. Lord, we just thank you for the privilege we have of being called separate from the world, Father, being placed in Christ on the basis of our faith in Him. And Father, given the privilege of serving You and living for You, and we thank You, God, for being our daily companion. Father, caring for every need and watching out for us, providing and protecting and doing all that You do. Father, as we consider this story tonight that's before us, may You help our hearts to rejoice, Father, in the victories that are so easily ours if we simply are obedient to Your Word and obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless Your Word each and every heart. Father, use something tonight in every one of our lives to teach us and instruct us, to continue to mold us into the image of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, take care of our shortcomings, Father, our needs. And Father, just challenge and compel us to be more obedient to You, and Father, to desire to ever walk closer with You. Bless Your Word each and every heart. Do the work that only You can do, for that which You give, we'll give You the praise and the glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Here, as we come to Ruth chapter 2 this evening, Ruth chapter 1 last week, the theme of it was Ruth's sorrow. And we noticed as we looked into the story that her sorrow was a result of circumstances that were set in motion before she was even involved in the storyline. Elimelech and Naomi deciding to move from Bethlehem, Judah, to go into the country of Moab because of a famine put them in circumstances that as Ruth came into the story, she entered it in a negative environment. She entered it under negative circumstances, and the rejoicing thing is how God in the midst of a bad environment and bad circumstances was able to do something so wonderful with this young woman named Ruth. We will see tonight as we go to chapter 2 that the reason that Ruth comes out of this thing and the reason that she prospers in the midst of adversity is because of her character, her dedication to her mother-in-law, her dedication to the God she's been introduced to. So many times we are fed the line that our environment dictates who we are, that our circumstances dictate who we are. And for a lot of people that believe the devil's lie and allow environment and circumstances to mold them and shape them, they can't come out the way Ruth did from this story. She went into this. We saw that there was a wrong decision made by her father-in-law to leave the house of bread and go into the land of Moab because of a famine. And she never even knew her father-in-law because he died before she ever was married to that man's son. We saw a wrong direction by her mother-in-law as she decided after the famine was over and after she'd heard that God had visited Bethlehem, Judah, and blessed them with bread. She decided to go back to her land but told her two daughters-in-law to return to Moab, to go back to their gods and back to their people. And yet in spite of that, Ruth, after her sister-in-law actually did turn back, Ruth insisted on going with her mother-in-law, going back to her land, and we read that wonderful testimony that I will, where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die. There will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. We are going to see in Ruth an unusual character of determination in doing right. And because of that, God is going to prosper her and bless her, though the circumstances were against her, though the environment was not favorable for her coming out in favor of God. Yet by her character, she overcame these things. We saw also the wrong disposition on the part of her mother-in-law, whose self-pity and blame of God for the circumstances in her life could have just ruined Ruth. Being exposed to that each and every day, the negativity and the downcast and the disappointment. You know, call me not Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Lord had dealt bitterly with me. Had she been a victim of her environment and circumstances, she could have just as easily become as worthless as her mother-in-law. Just as depressed and downhearted and discouraged and all these things. But she rose above that. Her faith in God took her to a height that now, though in chapter 1 Naomi is the main character, in chapter 2 Naomi is put in second place as Ruth's service to God rises to the front of the story. So we have a wonderful look in chapter number 2. After seeing Ruth's sorrow in chapter 1, we have Ruth's service in chapter number 2. Instead of succumbing to the gloom and doom attitude of her mother-in-law, Ruth takes the initiative and turns the entire story around from one of sorrow to one of satisfaction. From one of downcastness to one of rejoicing. Though environments and circumstances can have a weighty effect on us, we can overcome them by faith, by perseverance, by persistence, by determination, by dedication. We can overcome anything that this life and this world can throw at us. We look at the circumstances of many people and where they're raised and how they live and see, oh yes, God really needs to work in their life and bring them out of that situation and out of that homeness in many cases and out of that way of living. And yet our God is able to do it. There's nothing He can't do. So we see in Ruth her service, God's blessing upon her. Notice if you would here in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, which we read tonight, I want you to see her persistence. The persistence of Ruth. Ruth and Naomi have come out of the land of Moab empty. In fact, Naomi said that up in chapter 1 and verse number 21. She said, I went out full and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. As she returns to Bethlehem, Judah, as she brings Ruth the Moabitess with her, she comes back into the land and they find the same situation, at least on their behalf, that they left. And that is that they were without food. Though God has blessed Bethlehem, Judah in providing food, they weren't there for the planting season. They weren't there for the working season to plant the seed. They showed up at harvest time, but their fields had nothing growing in them. Naomi still owns property because Boaz ends up buying the fields of Elimelech at the end of the story. But because she was not there to plant, they have nothing during the time of reaping. And so she gets back to almost the same condition that she left under, and that is that she has come back empty. She has nothing. But notice Ruth's determination to go. It says in verse number 2 that Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field. There are three times where Ruth asked permission of her mother-in-law Naomi and says, let me go. Let me glean. Let me find favor. The determination of Ruth to make something useful out of a negative situation. To not sit back and succumb to the circumstances, but to rise above them. Ruth is determined to do that. She could have remained in the home with her mother-in-law and been just as sorrowful in spirit as Naomi was. But she decided to do something differently. She could have, as a young woman, as a young widow, found the company of women her age and gone out to look for a suitor, someone who would take care of her so she would not have to labor. She had multiple choices she could have pursued, and she didn't do that. She decided to go and to glean in the field. She decided that her closeness to her mother-in-law was such a closeness that she didn't want to just go off on her own and find means for herself, but she wanted to provide also for Naomi, who was sitting at home. In fact, we find that she even asked Naomi's permission. She said in verse 2, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. Ruth was determined to go. The Levitical law of the book of Leviticus in chapter 19 and chapter 22, we won't take the time to look back there. But under the Levitical law, those that owned the fields of harvest were commanded to leave the corners of the fields unpicked. In other words, whether it was a cornfield or a barley field or a wheat field, when they harvested it, they were to round the corners, not go right to the edge, but to go round at the corners and leave the leftovers there. And the Bible says, for the strangers and for the poor. All right, it was God's system of welfare, if you would. That they were to leave the corners. Now notice in God's system of welfare, the recipients had to work to get their welfare. God's got a great system going there. You notice that? They didn't just get to sit home and collect it. Somebody go get it for them. They had to go out to the field and work the corners. It was purposefully left for them in the corners. But if they didn't get up and get out of the chair and out of the house and away from the remote and to the field, they didn't get anything given to them. God's got a wonderful good system. And man would do good to follow God's system. But it was laid down in the Levitical law that they would not go to the corners of the fields, but round them and leave that for the strangers and for the poor. And so Ruth was determined to know, knowing the Levitical law as she has learned it from Naomi's people and from their God, she is determined to go out and do what she can do to provide for her mother-in-law. What a wonderful attitude of determination to get up and to go out and to do something. May I say this, and I know I'm getting ahead of myself, and it's hard not to because I'm already at the end of the chapter. I finished it and I know where we're going. And most of you know the story. She's going to attract the attention of a wonderful man named Boaz. And may I say the beginning of his attention being put on her starts right here. It doesn't start with when he sees her. It starts with what he hears about her. And he hears that she has this character about her that instead of sitting home and sitting with the mother-in-law and fretting with her, she gets up and she gets out and she does something beneficial. It's going to attract the attention of Boaz, and she's going to end up married to him and have everything she needs provided in her life, and not only for her but for her mother-in-law because of her determination to go. Notice also under her persistence, not just Ruth's determination to go, but notice Ruth's dependence on God. It says here in verse number 2, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." Now I know that directly in that context, she's not talking about God. She's talking, without knowing it, about the man that will turn out to be Boaz. But what she is dependent on is the providence of God. She's saying, "I will go do it and I will depend on God to lead me." You realize had she sat at home and not got up and not gone out and had never met Boaz and had never married Boaz and had never had a son who had a son named Jesse, who had a son named David, who eventually had a son named Jesus Christ that came from this very location of Bethlehem, all of prophecy would have been skewed. But because she got up, and of course we know God's got control over all this, but because she got up and went out into the field, I love Bible words. Look at verse 3. "And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap," what a short word, "and her hap was delight on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz." Now you know what hap means. We say happened. Happenstance. All right, it's just short here. This is the only word the only time that word appears like this in the Bible. But her hap was to fall upon the field. The coincidence in the story. The accidental occurrence of the story was that when she had the initiative to get up and go out of the house, to go to the corners of the field, to do what she could to provide for her mother-in-law and to reap, it just so happened that she landed in the field of a man named Boaz, who just happened to be of kin of Elimelech, Naomi's late husband. All these coincidences. You know why? Because Ruth got up and went out and was determined to go. She was dependent on God. It was her hap to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Jesus Christ's birth in Bethlehem occurred because of her going into the right field. You see, not only did she got up and she went, but of all the fields of Bethlehem she could have entered into, it just so happened she went into the field of Boaz. If you read the story and read down through here, it was very possible for her, just by a slight deviation from the direction she went, to end up in the field next to Boaz's. And end up reaping like the others, where she could have reaped and still come out with something, but not with the blessings that she was given. Her dependence on God helped steer her in the right direction, and she ended up in the right field at the right time, doing the right thing because of her determination to go. Don't let the devil whip you. Don't let the devil get you down. He's good at it. He works on all of us. We need to be aware of the fiery darts of the wicked one. But we need to remember that God has a purpose for our lives out there, and He can't fulfill that purpose if we're sitting back simply waiting. God, You clear the road, and then I'll walk on it. God says, no, You get out there and go. Be dependent upon Me, and watch what I am able to do. Ruth's persistence is going to change this story from sorrow to satisfaction. Notice number 2, if you would, and we didn't read the verses, from verse 4 down to verse number 17 of chapter 2. And we'll touch upon some of the verses, but I encourage you to go home and read it later. It's a wonderful story. From verse 4 down through verse 16, we see her provider. We saw her persistence in verse 1, 2, and 3, her provider in verse 4 through 16. And her persistence caused her to meet her provider. Her provider by name, as you know, is going to be a man named Boaz, as we've already mentioned, whose name means strength. He is going to turn out to be the strength of her life. He is going to be her provider. He's going to be her protector. And long before she ever actually comes face to face with him, he already provides and already protects. May I say this also, the Lord Boaz is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ for you and I. As a Gentile bride, as Ruth is not yet, she's not married to him yet, and we think of Bible prophecy in the day yet awaiting us when we're called to be united with God and we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb and we as a church are presented spotless and blameless before the Lord Jesus Christ to be united with Him. But right now we're like Ruth, we're out serving in the field. Right now we're out gleaning of the harvest and getting the blessings of God. And not having seen Him face to face, He still is providing for us and protecting us. That's the wonderful story of the relationship between Boaz and Ruth as we see it here. And we find in verse 4, beginning there, that Boaz becomes her provider. She will marry him in the end. But as for now, he knows her before she ever really knows who he is. What a wonderful story. Boaz is a good man. In verse number 4, it says, he comes from Bethlehem and said to his reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. He's a spiritual man. He's a good man. He has servants. He doesn't mistreat them, misuse them, accuse them. He comes back having been out on a journey, comes back to his field and simply greets them with a spiritual greeting, the Lord bless thee. And they, in respect to him and seemingly in honor to him, repeat the same thing to him, the same blessing to him. And they say, the Lord bless thee. Boaz looks out over the field and he sees this young woman. He takes note of this woman, Ruth, as she's out there gleaning in the field. And he becomes a provider for her. When he hears of her testimony, when he hears about who she is, he's heard the story. He knows that Naomi has come back. He's heard the story that she's brought a Moabitish woman back with her, though he has not seen her or met her. He knows what's going on. And by testimony, he finds out that many things are good. They tell him in verse 7. She said, I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued, even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. She was a hard worker. She had started in the morning, and outside of a little break she took, I don't want to say a siesta, but a little break time she took inside the house for a few minutes. Outside of that, she's been out in the field, out in the heat, working to provide for her mother-in-law. And Boaz hears about this testimony, and he provides for her. He gives her the gleanings of the field. In fact, it goes so far where he tells his men, when you're out there, let her not just go to the corners, but let her enter into the field itself and reap. And when she comes into the field behind you men that are reaping, leave her hands full on purpose. In other words, when you're gleaning all of these ears of corn and you find some good ones, accidentally leave them there. And go on your way and let her come behind you and get them. His desire to provide for her becomes enormous during the time that she's working in the field. He not only that, but look at verse number 9. He says at the end of the verse, when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. He gives her special permission. Something in Ruth has caught his eye. Something in him has brought attention to her. The testimony of her coming back from Moab to the land of Bethlehem, Judah. Her testimony of going out first thing in the morning and working in the field. Her testimony of being faithful to her mother-in-law is something that has attracted Boaz's attention. And he has a determination to provide for her, of the gleanings of the field, of the water that the young men drink of. Notice down in verse 14. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. Special provision is being provided by Boaz for Ruth because of her determination to do right. Oh, when God of heaven looks down upon us, may He find the determination in us to do right. That though little seems to be accomplished, He would feel such a way that He gives us some of the handfuls on purpose. That He rains down some of the blessings from heaven. Now, corn to most people is not that big a blessing. To me, that would be great. But the handfuls on purpose, just God saying, here, take some. Here, I want to give this to you. It could come by any means. It could be financial. It could be physical. It could be emotional. It could be social. It could be any way that God in heaven just looks down, and because of our determination to do right in the midst of a wicked world, God just says, here, take this. Some handfuls on purpose. Some provision in our life that God would give us, because our determination to go and our dependence on God. Now does He give her that, but He tells them, as I mentioned in verse 15 and 16, let some of that fall. Let her go into the regular harvest and let her gain some of that good corn that's there in the middle of the field. He's her provider. Not only that, He's her protector. Look at verse 9. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them, talking about the young men. Have I not charged the young men, and they shall not touch thee? He's her protector. He's concerned for her physical safety. She's a Moabitish woman. They could easily come and thrust her out of the harvest. They could come and abuse her in one way or another, or mistreat her, or cast her aside as a lowly Moabitish woman. But Boaz says to her, I've not only provided for you, but I will protect you. I will take care of you. Notice in verse number 22 that Naomi, later when she hears of the testimony of this, says, Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. She needs protection. She's in danger if she goes out alone. And Boaz becomes her provider and her protector. You want God to protect you? You want God's wall of protection about you? I think of the story of Job, where the devil came before him and God said, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like the earth, a man that is upright and feareth God and sheweth evil. And the devil says, yeah, but take away that hedge. Haven't you put a hedge about him? Oh God, ever give me a hedge. God, put a hedge 10 feet tall around me that the devil can't get through. I'm not anxious to take him on. I'm not eager to spit in his eye. I'm not eager to dare him to do something to me. I'm dependent on the protection of God, and the protection of God comes on those that are determined to go, determined to work, determined to labor for the Lord Jesus Christ. Boaz's protection is round about her. Why? Why has he decided to become her provider? Why has he taken it upon himself to be her protector? The answer is found in verse number 10. As she asks him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? And Boaz answered. Here's the answer to her question. Why? Why me? Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done. All that thou hast done. Now, we're not talking about salvation by works. We're talking about a woman, as it says at the end of verse number 12, who has already come under the wings of the God of Israel. By type, salvation is completed in full. But after that, he says, I have become your provider and your protector, because it's come into my ear all that you have done. It's not enough. I mean, it is, but it isn't. It's not enough just to be God's child. God has wayward children. God has disobedient children. God has children in need of chastisement. It's not enough just to be a child of God. Now, thank God, to get to heaven, that's all it takes. But you and I want more than that. We want the testimony of what we do to reach the ears of our God and make Him determine, I want to provide for Him. I want to protect her because of what we've done. Not, again, not to earn our salvation, but out of respect for the salvation He's so freely given, to labor and work for Him, to please Him. Boaz said, it's been told me all that thou hast done. He said in verse 12, the Lord recompense thy work. God doesn't bless us when we're lazy. I'm not talking about not going out and working 8 hours a day. I'm talking about service for God. I'm talking about doing things for the Lord Jesus Christ. God does not take care of us when we do not labor for Him. He does not provide for us when we don't work for Him. I'm getting danger walking out. When you have a full-grown son of average capacity that does not get out and make his own way and do his own thing, it's not of benefit to you for that to happen. God doesn't want us as our children to be under His wing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He says, go out and do it. Go out and make it. Go out and work. Go out and labor. Our challenge, and again, I fear to get too personal. Our challenge with Josh, knowing the circumstance and understanding that, is for us in his condition to make it possible for him to get out on his own. To go and provide for himself, not to have to live in mom and dad's living room. And under the circumstances and conditions, we're in a certain restriction right now. But our desire is for him to become an independent young man. Because mom and dad aren't always going to be around. Somebody's not always going to be there to provide. He's got to learn to do it on his own. God looks at his children and says, alright, I want to provide for you, but I'm just not going to pour it out and give it to you. You work the corners of the field. You get out and labor for me. And I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Ruth's service to the Lord Jesus Christ caused her provider to take care of him, to provide for him, to give him. Notice her work ethic, as we would call it in our day today. Notice verse number 11. No, that's not the verse I want. Verse number 17. So she gleaned in the field until even. You know what the Bible said? In verse number 7, she hath continued from the morning. And now they say of her in verse 17, she gleaned in the field until even. That's a long day's work. From sun up till sundown, out in the field, reaping the harvest, her hand gleaning. She probably got tired. She probably got weary. She took a break, at least on one time. She sat down for lunch in verse number 14. But she worked until the even. And it says in verse 17 that even after she gleaned in the field till even, then she beat out that which she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. See, her determination to work was not a short-lived, a small thing. She was determined to get the work done. She worked from the sunrise to the sunset. When the sun went down, she took it inside and by candlelight or by lamp, she went in and began to thresh that which she had picked and made it edible for her and for her mother-in-law. Her provider had been a wonderful provider for her. She had worked hard. Her persistence, her provider, lastly, in verse 18 down through verse 23, her proclamation. She went back home to Naomi. When she walked back in, you know what she had? She had the abundance of the blessing that God had given her through her provider in that day for laboring. She walked back in and not only did she have the corn which she had threshed and now it was in a basket and she brought it in to show before her mother-in-law that she might be impressed with the provision that God had given her for the day. But look at the end of verse number 18. And gave to her that she had reserved after that she was sufficed. She gave to her that which was left over after she had been sufficed. You say, well, what does that mean? Verse 14, she did eat and was sufficed. There's our match. When Boaz invited her to sit down with him and his servants at lunch, she ate all that she could and then had a takeout box given to her. And had all the leftovers put in it, and she took it home. Her mind was on her mother-in-law. Her mind was on providing for her. And so when she walked in with one arm full of all the provision of God from gleaning. In the other hand, the takeout basket from, not Ruby Tuesdays, but the takeout box from, from Boaz's lunch that had been spread and sufficed. She walked in with all these benefits to Naomi, who was sitting in the corner, feeling sorry for herself, for the condition she was in, while Ruth went out and worked. And she brought back the provision. You know what her proclamation was? Naomi looked at that and said, "Where in the world did all this come from? Who blessed you? Who helped you?" She said at the end of verse 19, "The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz." You know what Ruth is going to do by her service? Not only is she going to cause the provision of Boaz, a type of Christ, to come on her life, she's going to encourage Naomi. Naomi is going to get blessed because of the service of Ruth. Her spirits are going to be lifted. She's going to be encouraged. She's going to be brought out of her doldrums. She's going to be picked up by Ruth's dedication to go out into the field, to be dependent upon God, and to receive the blessing that God gives her. Notice her dedication to her mother-in-law in verse 18. She comes in, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that which she had reserved after that she was sufficed. Her dedication to her mother-in-law. Notice her communication with her mother-in-law in verse 19. And her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today?" Here's a wonderful example of a parent-child relationship. Here we have Naomi, the mother. We have Ruth, the daughter-in-law, or the daughter. And we have a communication around the table at the end of the day. You know what our society has lost today, folks, is that communication. We call it the generation gap or the communication gap. It's not there if you don't allow it to be there. And it's a wonderful thing for parents to keep track of what their young people are doing by sitting down and saying, "Hey, what'd you do today? How did your day go? How are things going?" The reason we have such trouble in our day is because there is no communication. The kids go out and do what they're going to do all day long and live their life, and they come home late at night when mom and dad are already in bed, and they go straight to bed, and nobody knows what's going on and how things are going, and then they grow up and they end up in trouble, and the parents say, "I wonder how that happened." There's communication between her and accountability. Where did you glean today? What were you doing? Who did you meet? Who were you with? Who were you around? Who did you talk to? And accountability. And it is part of the blessing that Ruth gets from what God has done for her. She had communication. She was not without accountability. And then notice the observation of Naomi in verse number 20. "Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said unto her, "The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." What a coincidence that God has led Ruth into the right field, to the right man, that will be the right provider and protector. God directed the steps of Ruth because she was determined to go. She has taken her sorrow in verse 1 and put it behind her and turned it into service in chapter 2. It will be submissiveness in chapter 3 and satisfaction in chapter 4. The story of Ruth, though ages old and though an example of Gentile-Jewish relationship in a family way back then, is such a wonderful story and practical example for us today. In getting the blessing of God and the provision of God and the protection of God as we labor for Him, as we work for Him, as we turn what He has given us back to Him to glorify Him. Ruth's service. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Father, tonight we are thankful for this wonderful story located here in Ruth chapter 2. Father, we completely understand how Boaz was smitten with Ruth. As we think about her character, her determination, her dedication, Father, these things about her that made her stand out from the rest. Her simple testimony, as Boaz has heard it. And Father, we pray that in our individual lives, that God, we would arise above the circumstances around us. Rise above the sorrow that can so easily consume us. And Father, determined to go and be dedicated to our God and serve Him in spite of the conditions around us. Father, I think of Ruth humbling herself to go out among the strangers and among the poor into the corners of the field, not being too proud to go into the corners and be numbered with the strangers and the poor. And yet, Father, because of her humility, You honored her. You lifted her up and got her noticed in the eyes of Boaz, and what a wonderful end of the story is about to take place. Father, help us to learn from the lessons of Scripture, and Father, determine to serve You with all of our hearts and to do those things that are pleasing to Thee. Bless Your word to each and every heart. Challenge us tonight, we ask, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.